Good morning, Patriots. Can't believe it. It's already Saturday. Well, that week has gone by faster than the last week, if that was possible. And here we are. Right off the top, Mike Lindell, MyPillow, Bard's Code. Mike Lindell is probably one of the great Patriots of our time. It's both a Patriot and a CEO that has been single-handedly waging war against the deep state with the sales of pillows, comforters, sheets, and my slippers. As you know, Mike Lindell is going to be speaking at Bars Fest on the 27th of August, and we're making that day Bards Fest Day. Well, actually, we're making that day my slipper day at Bards Fest. That's a better way of saying it. And so to celebrate that, we're encouraging everybody to buy a pair of my slippers, among other great products that they have: sheets, towels, comforters, doggy beds, you name it. They've got it. And they've got mattresses as well. All great savings. And you can get those great savings by using the promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, BARDS, B-A-R-D-S. So head on over to MyPillow or MyPillow.com or FrankSpeech.com, MyPillow.com or FrankSpeech.com. And while you're there, use the promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, to get your great discounts. And if you want to talk to a person, 800-975-2939, 800-975-2939 is the number. So you can call them and use the same promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S. Patriots, you also know that on the 26th to the 29th of August is Bards Fest. And there may be some confusion that occurred yesterday. We need to make sure everybody understands that that confusion is just nonsense. But there was a notice that was sent out yesterday by Ticketmaster that said that, whoops, your event's canceled. No, it's not canceled. All that's happened is Ticketmaster was canceled, just like Eventbrite canceled us last time. What we've done is we've consolidated the events into the one large location known as Drive-In St. Louis Powerplex. It's an amazing space, both indoor and outdoor. And that's where we're bringing everybody together. This event now is a donation-based event. Your donations make this event possible. If you go to our really cool website, bardsfest.com, you will see that there's two buttons right there. You can press, yes, I need tickets, and you can donate to get tickets, and you can set the price you'd like for your tickets. We request a minimum of $5 per ticket donation. And yes, you'll get some cool-looking tickets sent to you when you finish that transaction, almost like we're better than Ticketmaster or Eventbrite, because we are. And then you can go, or you can just donate, which we are completely humbled at the way that Patriots have come out and supported this, and I truly mean that. Thank you for all you've done, and you can just donate to support the event. This is a revival. This is God's event, and it is our decision. It was after a lot of prayer and some real awakenings to realize that you don't sell a ticket to that. We open it up for Patriots to support that as you feel compelled. Your donations go a long ways. They help the event. They can help pay for tickets for Patriots that can't afford tickets, all of those things. And that's making it possible, thanks to you. So head on over to bardsfest.com. Check out the site. We've got a good lineup, really impressive lineup for 4 days, and it's going to be an amazing festival. We have great entertainment. We have Coffee Anderson opening for us Thursday night. We have, as a headliner, I should say he's our headliner event for Thursday night, in addition to all these great speakers. We've got Pastor Greg Locke, Pastor Tony Wood, Pastor John Benzinger, Pastor Butch Paw, Pastor Dave from that you heard last night from His Glory, Pastor Travis Graham, these great pastors really speaking truth to power across this entire nation. And we need that, because this is an event to reset the heart of our nation to the center point of faith and our love of God. This is truly the battle line that we need everybody to be part of. We'll be live streaming this on Clout Hub, Brighteon, and Mike Lindell's channel will be live streaming. In fact, Clout Hub is sending out a team of people. I think I heard today they're going to have like 5 or 7 people there to help make sure this all comes together there. We'll start live streaming over on Clout Hub hopefully this week, so we can start getting used to getting people over there. And here we go. Brighton TV is giving us the full weekend just dedicated to Bards Fest. It's amazing. So really a great support. Mike Adams and his team over there have been amazingly supportive of this. Very humbled, in fact. And for those of you that don't know, I'll be running a show there once a week after Bards Fest on Brighton TV. It's the Bards FM channel, our story show, whatever, 5 p.m. on Thursday evenings Eastern time on Brighton TV once a week. Oh, and you get to see my lovely mug over there because that's going to be a live stream with video. I know, it's gets you all excited. So anyway, there you go. That's the, it is a really amazing event that we're putting together. And so I can brag a little bit more because God has led an amazing event for all of his children to come. There is a outdoor stage, and it's there's seating there. It's open, so we're not going to be fighting for seats. There's plenty of room. Okay, let's be clear. There's going to be the speaker stage, and then there's going to be the carnival side as well. So we have a place with rides for kids and family. We have indoors. We have a kind of an inflatable ninja obstacle course, and we've got a daycare for parents if you need to take a little bit of break from the children. But this is designed to be a family event. We've got an ice skating rink. We have a cornhole place. We have a breakout area for county by county. We have a vendor space. All of those are indoors. Just done a lot of neat things going on. So there's plenty of seating out there. You don't need to bring your chairs. It's all there. So excited to have you there. I suspect we're going to put a lot of people in that place is what I suspect, which will be great. So that's it. Get ready. Buckle up. All those fun things are great to talk about, but here's what the bottom line is, and it is the bottom line. This event is about God. This event is about our love of Jesus Christ and the love of our nation through all of that. This land was a blessed land, and we're going to bring together that remnant to stand together to celebrate in his love and his fellowship, and we're going to bring back the strength of our faith back to our nation, where two or three are gathered, quite literally. So that is our goal. That is God's calling, and that's where we will be. So we look forward to seeing you there. Jeremiah 32:27, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all the flesh. Is anything too hard for me? Sometimes you read these passages and you have to kind of, you kind of shake your head a little bit and almost laugh, not at God, but at us. And why do we do that? Because when you think about how ridiculous we are in our worship of so many other petty little things in our life, which is quite literally just forms of idolatry, our inability to capture and truly grasp how great our God is stunning. It truly is stunning. We are in a time where fear and the desire to relieve the symptoms of fear and anxiety have become the principal driver of all of what life is. Fear of death is a primary one, which is rather ironic since every one of us is guaranteed we're going to die. But people have come to accept that death is a bad thing because they will shorten their life in the mortal, the physical, and they won't be able to be fulfilled. And it's a tragedy when you think about it. But at the center of all things is that issue, the fear of death. If you didn't have a fear of death, you wouldn't have a fear of the fake virus. If you didn't have a fear of death, you wouldn't have a need to get a shot. If you didn't have a fear of death, you wouldn't spend your entire life slaving away for a cabal system to store away a few pennies to live your life in the last few years of what's left of your life after wasting your whole life at a cubicle job. We are built, designed, created to be in this world to do the mission of God if we accept the mission. It's literally like, you know, this is your mission if you will accept it. This message will self-destruct in 5 seconds. Mission Impossible sort of parable. And it is, quite frankly, a mission impossible for many. They can't accomplish it. They choose not to accept it. Imagine an innocent soul arriving in this world, very clear on who they are when they're first born. Children have amazing clarity about who they are. It's the adults that can't figure it out. And by the way, this is an interesting little note here. If you notice how the left plays, they try to empower the children over the adults. They try to give the children power over the adults. They destroy the family by empowering the kids and then ultimately turning the kids against the family. This is so dark and so evil. Let me put this a little bit in context. A child is very innocent and comes into this world with very clean eyes, so to speak. They arrive in this world with eyes open and they're connected with God. And part of that, though, is they're also innocent, meaning they are not ready for some of the ways and mechanisms of what the adult world will do to them. It's an evil world. Parents' role, in simple terms, is to nurture and protect that child to ensure that they can have the love of God in their heart as they grow, because the experience here on earth, it's as we are here, we are formable. Now imagine this, because this is kind of crazy if you think about it, how devious this is. The left says, oh, but we want children to rise up with their great power and their great insight, because it's the children that are the future. So we want the children to lead, and don't like your parents because they don't know what's going on. And therefore the state quietly slips in there and becomes the protector and the teacher. The protector and the teacher of the children that God entrusted his own children to take care of. In other words, the parents' role is taken away, and the parents willfully give it away, and in so doing, the parents have, I would even say the word blasphemy, what God offered them. The role of the child is significant. And they come into this world again with eyes to see. And the parent's job is to nurture that, protect that, and ensure that the child grows up in a way that continues to love God instead of all this craziness that's going on out here. But when we start deviating away from God and our love of Christ, and we start deviating from those relationships, we start to wander. The whole concept of wandering in the desert is, one, a story of that happened with Moses. It's also a metaphor for what happens to each one of us. And at a certain point, we wander. And we wander to a large degree because we're not listening. And we begin to worship the things of this world. And it's like we settle into the eyes that cannot see. Now imagine when you get to the end of your life and you start to realize that you spent your entire life slaving away for a retirement, a 401k, stock investments, whatever it is, and it's all been about trying to live to the end so you can enjoy your profits of this world and not have to work. That's literally what retirement has become. God never said retire. God didn't say go out and work hard and do nothing when you get older. Our role here has always been about occupying the land and expanding the kingdom. But the trinkets that are offered by Luciferians, the Luciferian side, this satanic order that seems to control this world of perception, are the little tidbits of, well, here, if you save a little few pennies and will be able to get older, you can live your life free of enslavement. That's the promise. God never said we had to be enslaved. In fact, God said that if we trust in him, he'll provide for everything, but we don't trust in him. And most don't trust in God. Even though they say they trust in God, most do not. They'll trust in God so long as their paycheck comes in, so long as that job position is there, so long as that promotion occurs. And it's conditional. It's conditional based on what the new house is, if you can pay the monthly mortgage, if you can pay the car payment, the insurance payments. All of these things are value based on dollars. Value based on dollars. And we forget how great and massive our God is. And we also expect our God to fix everything too often. Well, God is here, so naturally he's going to protect me, fix it, and I won't have to do anything. Another distortion from our church. The churches of the modern day are not teaching scripture. They're not teaching fire in the belly faith. They're teaching passivity, pew marshmallow nonsense. It teaches you to be quiet and passive as a Christian, to walk into this world and be humbled by everything, to accept everything, and then just to toe the line, hold your place, and say nothing. And that sort of lack of courage is exactly opposite. It's the antithesis of what we should be doing as Christians. This is a time when Christians need to be, and it has always been the time for Christians to be bold in the face of God. Bold does not mean arrogant, nor does bold mean violent. These are words that have to get clear on, because the distortion that's around us is this doublespeak of the left that seems to control every aspect of our life, has managed to make it, and intentionally so, so difficult to speak of the true nature of who we are, that we are left with one of two options. If we don't say we love and accept everything, we become a terrorist, and a violent one at that. That's by design. Because by design, they can then state that anybody that does not comply with their way is a terrorist of the state. Our freedoms that were given to us by God in this land, in a country that was created with the principle of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness as unalienable rights provided to us, given to us by our Creator. And it isn't a mythical thing of what the Creator is. The Creator is the one God who created all things, our living God. That is what we were gifted in this land. And for approximately 400 years, sometimes before the Declaration of Independence, and then later after, for those years until now, we have had the liberty, the freedom to pursue our faith without impingement. But that has now changed. And through the auspices of a fake virus, something they call COVID, the worship of fear has overtaken the worship of God. And that worship of fear, people have willfully handed away their unalienable rights, rights that we were given, that only God could take away, unless we ourselves gave them away. And we gave them away. We gave them away boldly. And as we gave them away, we have now discovered that there's only one way back, according to what they want. And they have always wanted this. This wasn't accidental. The one way back was this. You can have it all back for a while, or you can have at least some of it back, as long as you do exactly what we say. And if you don't do what we say, we'll take it away. And if you do what we say, we'll take it away anyway, because we're going to want you to do more of what we say. That's the game. God gives unconditionally. Those of this world give conditionally. It is a huge issue, and it's a massive way in which we have to look ourselves at how we live in this life. Giving unconditionally is the center point of how God has built this world. And in so doing, he trusts in us to follow and trust in him, to love him above all things. Unfortunately, much of the way our faith works these days is we accept the gift and then we put a condition on our love back to God. Oh, I love you, God. I'm humbled because you've given me what I've needed to do whatever that is I need. You've provided me with money now when I thought I didn't have any. You've provided me with a car. You've provided me, and that's all good. We'll pray on those things. But then when things go south and they don't go quite right, the car breaks down, you don't have the money to repair it, the money runs out, you get new challenges in your life. That's when we see too often, why did you do this to me, God? You gave this to me and now you're taking it away. Why? Everything is conditional. That is not the way our love with God works and our love with Jesus Christ. This is a love which we have to have unconditionally to him. And as we unconditionally love God, he unconditionally loves us back. And he still loves you, even though someone is a conditional idiot trying to give God a conditional love, thinking that that bargain's going to work. That's the other thing. Think of the comedy of that. It's like, I'm gonna bargain with God. Really? Tell me about how that goes. Because it doesn't. It's silliness. It's all because the corruption of a me culture, a me ideology, a me cult that thinks that this world is so doggone important that they need to cling on to all the things around and build an identity around this world. I've said this many times, and it's a mental exercise that's necessary to go through. And if you've never had to go through it, and I know many people have, and I'm glad you have, because it strengthens you. I've been through it. When you literally lose everything, when you do that and you get to that right place where you're truly turning to God, you discover the power of pure faith. You have a choice at that moment in time. You can have pure faith, or you can try to fight it on your own. It doesn't work well when you're trying to climb those mountains by yourself, because it wasn't a design that we were supposed to. This world is a world where we are here to do a mission, not here to become part of it, but it's part of the illusion. And the more that I look at this is... I'm going to try to describe to you how I see the existence in this world. Whether I'm right or wrong, I don't know. I do believe what I'm going to describe is scriptural. But here it goes. We arrive in this world given a mission. Each one of us arrives with gifts and talents that are inherently given to us by God. That's our birth. And when we arrive here, our eyes are open. We can see through children, can see each other. They can see purely who the soul is. We see that all the time. Children get along. They have a different way of interacting with one another. As we grow, we gain experiences. Many of those experiences are shaped around our parenting. That's intended, because that's what God did, is he gave us parents whose role is to nurture us, protect us, and bring the love of God into our lives to ensure that as we walk this path in life, we would truly have that love of God carry us, because this world is evil. It is a corrupted world. And God's children are here to do a particular thing, to continue to seek and find those that they can bring home to God. In this strange metaphor, the world is almost like a living prison that we're sent in as children of God to try to find those that we can bring home during the time that we're here. And in doing so, not get trapped in this world. The thing is that it's easy to get trapped here, because we are given not a memory of who we are, but we're given the experience of living in the flesh. And as we live in the flesh, we're opened up now to all the lures and all the enticements that the flesh provides. The importance of good parenting cannot be overstated, to nurture that love and that power of God and obviously the embracement of Jesus Christ in our lives, because those are the things, the azimuths, that keep us going forward. unfortunately, along this path, parents have lost their way in a big way. God asked us to bring children in, to nurture them, to educate them. He didn't ask us to hand them off to a communist indoctrination camp known as public schools, but we do it. He didn't ask us to shirk our responsibilities of raising children by as we are and as communities of common mind, but we do it because we get swept up as parents and adults as with the job, with the new car, with the house, all the lures of things because we ourselves have lost our way. So a child that comes in is a gift from God to be part of this world, is another voice of God in this world that needs to be stewarded because as they move through, they need to build their armor. But we ourselves dropped our armor long ago. These are broad generalizations, so don't take it personally if this is not you. Just so I'm clarifying, I'm just speaking in general about humanity. And in the process of this, the parenting that is supposed to happen in a house of God ends up being a parenting that happens with God taught as a subject item, not as a way of life, but as a subject line, while we live in a world of Luciferian material satisfaction. And so it becomes a generation after generation of drifting farther away from God. This is how our world has become over time and how we have fallen to the traps. We're in a place right now where that awakening has to happen. That awakening absolutely absolutely has to happen. We have to get to a place where each person begins to reclaim the responsibility of nurturing in this world. Because it's the only way that if we can restore that love of God in our lives and the commitment to God's path and God's laws, not the world of the Luciferian order, are we ever going to save this world and reset. But for me, when I read the scriptures and I see what happens, there's always this repeating cycle. It's not new. Matter of fact, it's very old. And it seems to be very repetitive. And with that, I would say that it gets very mind-numbing of how ridiculous we are as humanity. I don't speak from a pedestal because I myself have walked a sordid path. I've had plenty of mistakes in my life. I've face-planted myself more times than I can count. But fortunately, at one point in time, God gave me the grace of breaking me so severely that I finally turned to Him and listened. And so I hope that through that, God speaks to me and I follow that obediently and blindly. And I still make mistakes. I always want to qualify that because I don't believe in pedestalizing anything I say, nor should any of us. We are not better than the other. We simply have experiences that we can share. And God, as we connect with God, those become rather profound at moments in each of our lives. But the fact is that as we move along here and we realize how far we've come astray, we need to work hard at helping the others that are around us realize how far astray they are as well. Life is not defined by the material status that occurs in this world. Those are all hooks and traps. Life is not defined by the house you have, the street you live on, the car that you drive, the clothes that you wear, the job title you have, the number of degrees you have on tagged against your name. Those, God didn't give you those titles. Those are titles here to consume you with yourself so that you can change who you are. You want to, it is a relationship issue. And here's the biggest trap when we start parenting, because parents don't even see how big a trap that is. So one, we outsource our children's education, which was supposed to be our responsibility, to these communist Luciferian death camps. Oh, I'm sorry if you got confused. It's called public schools. And then we do a step better. Well, you'll hear parents say this all the time. Whew, got my child through public school. They made it. They're in great shape. And they still love God. I can't tell you how many times I've heard this type of statement and then what follows, because here it comes. I don't know what happened. I sent my child to university and they come back now and like they're a changed person. They're liberal values. They're not interested in God anymore. Why are we even shocked? Why are we shocked? The responsibility of parenting was not to brush our brow and say, boom, we got our kid out of public school. We indoctrinated him for 12 years and gave us a chance to go do what we wanted while we kicked the kid out of the house. We got rid of our responsibility, passed it off to somebody else who hates God, but that's okay. We're so lucky because our child now has gotten through all of that, and in the process of doing all of that, guess what? We have a child that still loves God and not the communist order. And that just stuns me when I hear these comments. It's like, yeah, what did you do? You got lucky. It wasn't you that did it. God fortunately had enough strength in that child to take care of your job that you didn't do. That's what it means. So then we get to the university piece, and it's like, my child's going to go to school. And the parents, half of this is the parents' ego, by the way. Oh, I've got my child in a great school. They've gotten into great colleges. They got into an Ivy League. They got into the best college for medicine. They got into the best. Who cares? The question is, have you done as a parent to raise a child to embrace their gifts and talents, to pursue those gifts and talents in the world as God would intend? And those gifts and talents are many. So what have we done to nurture those? To raise a child so that their gifts and talents become the pathway that they follow. I could care less whether they go to trade school, whether they go to an apprenticeship, whether they go to a technical school, or whether they just decide to pursue their life on their own and be successful, doing what they're led to do. But there is this part where we have to rely constantly on somebody else. This is what is just amazing. You can't be a pastor unless you go to seminary. You can't be really to understand the world through Christ unless you do a missionary program. I'm trying to think where that fit into the disciples. Could you imagine that? Like, they just sacrificed Christ. All right, let's sit around, guys. Does anybody here have their degree from seminary? They just sacrificed Christ, and we need somebody to step up here and start helping build churches. Paul, do you have your degree from seminary? Simon? It's just like, what has happened to us? And it's, we've become so dependent on a system. We become dependent on a system to where we have to literally sit by and wait for the system to tell us how to shape our, quote, gifts and talents. Because I guarantee you when they're through with it, it ain't going to be a gift and talent. By the way, you can take great courses at the university right now on like the gender fluidity of Star Trek. And I could go on a list of stupid shows. I mean, these are real courses that our universities have taken. And I guarantee you, if I asked a parent, I'm willing to make a bet, blind bet, and I don't even know the answer. I'm willing to make a blind bet that if I was to survey 100 parents who had their kids in college, and I said, tell me what courses your children are taking at university and how those courses are applying to their gifts and talents that God gave you. Adul asked a question. Adul had a question. And this is what you would have had in this. You would have had, number one, I don't know what my kids' courses are. That's up to them to choose. Two, I don't know what their gifts and talents are. That, so we're going to do about 90% of the parents are going to say, that's my blind bet. 90% of the parents will say they have no idea what their children's courses are, because apparently we don't have any influence on that anymore, since once they turn 18, they're adults and we kick them out the door, but somehow they're still dependent upon us. I never quite figured that one out. And it's this eagerness to get the kid out the door, too. Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait. Can't wait. 18, 18, 18, 18, 18. Bing, boom. Get that kid out of here. Get him to college. Get him out of my life. I've had enough of you for 18 years. I need a break of being a parent. I'm looking forward to having my own life back again. Our families are jacked up. That's what I'm going to tell you. And our family model is jacked up. We are here as stewards of God's world. Part of that stewardship are our children and the nurturing of our children and the protection of our children and the assisting of our children and the teaching of our children as God intended. But man, has this world become powerful. And man, has the lures of this world become so powerful that the parents themselves have lost their way and can't see which way is up, left, or right. Because everything again goes back to how we are perceived in this world by one another. None of this stuff goes with us. You live on a great house down the on the street. You've worked your life. You'll hear parents say this, man, we're ready. We're ready. We've got a perfect house. We've got a perfect place. Look, I'm not criticizing how you live, so be clear about this. It's where your values sit. God doesn't want you to be poor. He's not asking people to live on the street. Through faith in him, he'll provide what he needs you to provide. What you need for him to do his work in this world. And we each have a station in that world. But I'm telling you, in this world, it is unbelievable how the status of these things become our worship, hence our idol worship of this time. None of this is easy in this walk. And the responsibility that we have is massive. This isn't a life to enter into and suddenly get to a place where we say, "How? When does it become easy?" Because it was never intended to be easy. We're not here to get lured away and lulled to sleep. Because as we do, and we begin that process as young adults into adults with children, as we get lured away and put to sleep, they steal God's children. And they don't steal them by taking them away from you. They steal them in the most beautiful way they possibly can to mock God. And I say that in a very negative way. Their masterful plan is that they turn us against God without us even realizing it, because we make the choices of free will to choose the path away from God, to not nurture our children in the love of God, but instead to ultimately nurture our children in the love of things. And once that hook is planted, it is a deep hook. We have that responsibility again to steward the future. And right now, as a remnant church that's standing, we have to confront these harsh things. I've said already, my life is an imperfect walk, as is every single one of us an imperfect walk. And that's more of a reason that we need to speak boldly on this, because if you've had an imperfect walk, you understand the pits and traps. That's how we nurture a next generation to be aware of it. God gave us that experience so that we would become stronger, better, and more clear in this world. But if you listen to the way the Luciferians work, your not lack of compliance with their world is to be punished by disparagement, by destruction of character, and trying to convince you that you have no voice at all because you're not legitimate. That is not the way God works. God takes the experiences that we have that are imperfect to raise us up to be greater in this world, as long as we accept Christ in our life and we humble ourselves before him to seek salvation. And it is the imperfection that allows us to see more clearly. And as we see more clearly, we become the teachers of the next generation. We have to rebuild these families. We have to rebuild the concept of family in this nation. It is a bold statement to be made. A bold statement in a time when so much is fragmented and broken. But at the center of this nation, when we place God on, above us all, on the throne. And it's an interesting thing when you read the Constitution and you read carefully the Declaration of Independence and you read carefully the Constitution and the makeup of the government, and then you go through the Federalist Papers. It's a very interesting step here, so pay attention. We are told that we are a republic of a country by and for the people. And that's true to a degree, but we're really a monarchy if you pay attention to what's written in the Declaration of Independence. Because we do have a king. And it's our king is Jesus Christ, and it's through Christ to the Father, because it puts up there that all rights in this land are given by the Creator. That doesn't say all rights are given by a government elected by the people. It says all rights are given by the Creator. We have a king. We are a monarchy of the highest order. We are a monarchy of under God. And then what has happened under that amazing structure is that we have been given the right to manage our affairs by a government that we elect that then represents our values, our ideas, our free will under that rule of God. It's quite an amazing structure, but we don't even hear that talked about because it becomes just this, well, yeah, it's a government, yeah, whatever, they're all corrupt. They're corrupt because we allowed it. In a land that God gave us to steward. So in full circle, we walk in this world with a purpose and an intent. Somewhere lives within us. It's your gifts and talents. It's why we are here. This isn't a mindless world. It isn't like you have to struggle to figure out why you're here. You just need to listen to God. And that may not be a quick path, but it's there. But what you're competing against when you try to hear God is the programming that is pounded into your head of what you are and what you are not. In this world, if you are not titled, if you are not educated in their system, if you are not compliant with the rules that they give you, if you are not those things, you are lesser, you are incapable, you are not worthy. When we sit back and we look at this field, it is interesting to see what God has done in this time. God has taken a guy, his name's Mike Lindell, who was a crack addict, and he's raised him up to be a voice to get Christ in our lives, back in the forefront of all things. To build a company that has helped fund many of the patriot movements by his cooperative support. And the dude sells pillows and mattresses and slippers, and he's seen as the greatest threat to the cabal in our time. I'm not saying Mike in any way. I'm be clear when I say this. God's using Mike. Whatever Mike is, Mike is. I don't know him personally. I know his story and I see what he does. His actions speak loudly. But God's using him, and it's a reminder of the power that God has in this world. Last time I checked, Mike did not go to university to get a degree in building a pillow company. But that's exactly what would come of this. Is somebody would say, I want to be like Mike Lindell. Well, let's build a degree course. What do we want to call it? We're going to call the degree course Slippers and Pillows. A Bachelor's of Science, which is always funny to me. I'll get to that in a second. Bachelor's of Science in Slippers and Pillows. Okay, how much are we going to charge? Well, let's charge a fee. What if they can't afford it? We'll offer them loans to get them in debt. And there the cycle begins. But if we sell it right, they say, we can have a great tag of a degree from this great institution of learning that we are. and we can give them a BS in this, which is exactly what most degrees are. I had a great education at university, not because I have a BS in history. It's because I had a great education and I listened to a lot of unique people and did a lot of reading and still do. The degree was just a sidebar. We are here to occupy this land and to grow God's kingdom. God's given us the gifts and tools that we need within us. All we have to do is pursue them boldly, to trust in Him. So in these days now, when these decisions are having to be made, big decisions about life, the direction you're going, careers, these are decisions each one has to make, not centered on yourself, but centered on God. For many, they will choose self. They will go to that way, and they will follow that way based on what they need, what they think they need, what they desire in this world. It'll be the material choice of the world. It is the wide gate, and ultimately, it is the path to destruction. But those that can stand, that can put God first in all things, trust in God the way they go. And there are a number of things that will stand in our way or try, and we will overcome them as long as we hold our faith. And our faith in Christ Jesus and to God. But to do that is we have to stand boldly. We can't stand meekly on the side. We have to be bold and stand and lead this nation. This nation will ultimately be reset, not by expunging all of the evil, though we would all like to see that happen. That task will be a task over generations. But the bottom line of how this nation is going to be reset is that the remnant and the remnant church finally take a stand together, not to be sitting on the side, not to be sitting over here quietly in the corner afraid to proclaim your love for Christ, but to be able to step into this world and to assume the critical leadership positions from local to national. And as we assume those critical leadership positions, not to seek those positions for ourselves and for our ego, but to seek those positions for the glory of God and our King, Jesus Christ. And as we walk that way, we become the new level of statesmen. We become the mentors for new generations. We reclaim the nurturing needed for our youth and the future of our country. We find the evil and we confront it and we expunge it. And we reset every department, every administration, every municipality gets reset on the foundations of God's law. God is not going to do that. We do that. But we do that with the power of God within us and the boldness as Christians to stand in the gap and to do such a thing. And that's courage. That's commitment. And that's what we need to do. And when we accomplish that in the end, this nation will right itself. It will steer away from this iceberg that we're charging into for like the 10th time. And instead of us playing violins on the top of the deck as the entire damn thing sinks and people are bailing ship and the elites are getting in their boats and racing away to start all over again, that's not what does happen. It's the elites that bail because they're afraid of being part of something so grand because the ship isn't going to sink, because the ship's captain and its crew have been revitalized. That new captain and crew are God's children who have stepped up and said, enough is enough. I'll be a school board member. I'll be a county commissioner. I'll be a city councilor. I'll be a mayor. And they're not going to be those things because they went to a degree school. You have a special degree. They're not going to be those things because they had some special place that they live in the city or some club that they hang out in. They're doing it because they're led by the power of God and the glory of Christ, and they stand in the gap and they take those positions regardless of where you come from, because you're called to assume those positions, to lead, to mentor, and together collectively we will reset this nation. But that's the long game, and it's going to take a long time. But the miracle about the way God works is I say long, and what's long for me today may not be long for God, because maybe he'll say enough, let's make this happen, and boom, it happens. And we know how that can be. But it is not going to start until we make that commitment to do this way. So for everyone that's looking for the instant solution, for the quick fix, for this place where we are saying, well, we can get it done today, or we need the military to sweep in and fix it for us tomorrow. The whole point here is it has always been a country blessed by God, ruled by his people. And his people, whether small or large as a group, are the ones that must lead it to reset it, to restore it, and get us back to the pivot and foundation of faith and in God we trust. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in this time that we are in, when there seems to be so much chaos, we're watching a world that we knew collapse. Too often we fall into the fear and the anxiety of what that represents. Lord, what we're asked at this point in time is that you can guide us with the clear eyes to realize that within this chaos there is so much opportunity, that you're giving us the keys to reclaim this great nation. All it takes is our faith in you and the strength to stand in the gap as your children, as lovers of Christ, and as Christians in this world. Lord, we know very well that to do such a thing, to speak these words boldly, there is a gnashing and evil left that will try to demonize it in every step of the way. If we proclaim Christ in our lives, they will demonize us as heretics, as demonize us as cult, and the many things in which they are themselves. But we were told this, Lord, and you reminded us through your Son, Jesus Christ, who said, if you follow me, you will be persecuted. So let us be persecuted in the right way. Let us stand for the right things. Let us stand in this time and boldly know that what we are doing is making a difference because we're following you and our love through Christ Jesus. And in so doing, let us have the knowledge within us that what we are pursuing is truly as you would intend, that we are glorifying you in each and every step and each and every breath, that what we do, Lord, is to put you above all things, that as we humble ourselves and seek salvation through Christ and through Christ to the Father, Lord, we speak to you clearly here that guide us, lead us, help us bring this nation back. Let us assume those places of position and prominence that we can influence. But let us not seek the positions of our own ego. Let us remember that some of the most quiet positions in government, for example, are those with the greatest influence, the ones that go without the least amount of attention. Let us walk humbly in this place to find those places of influence and control, to redirect this ship, to reset this ship, to put it back on the foundation of faith and the love of you above all things. Lord, we know that this remnant is being called for such a time as this, but with that we also understand that it requires sacrifice. Those words are not said lightly, but said to understand that we must be willing to give all, including our life in this flesh. And so, Lord, for myself, as I speak this prayer over many, I make that commitment to you, and if others choose to follow, they will speak it. That I have given my life to you, and I will give my life to you and through the death of this flesh, no matter what it takes to fight for the love of you, the love of Christ, and to reset this nation back to a direction where we put our faith as a rock, our love of you above all things, and our humility before you as a principle of life, as was intended in the beginning. And we say these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Choices we each have to make, bold ones, big ones, and we need to reflect very deeply on them because we can't sit passively on the side. We cannot. Or we become, I guess I should say it this way, we can't sit passively on the side if we expect to do God's will. If we're going to sit passively on the side, go get the shot, get in line, and wait for your welfare check. Play the game. But I'm not in this world to play their game. I'm in this world to walk God's path. And I hope you are the same. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. Glorious times that we live. What an amazing, amazing time that we live. Keep your prayers strong. Keep your prayers there because they are the connection to God, the building of that rock underneath us of faith and the connection with one another. God will never forsake us. He'll never leave us. And in the end, God will always win. Have a blessed day, Patriots. Be on the lookout tonight. I may throw up a show tonight for Bards FM, so be on the lookout for it. I haven't decided yet. We've got a lot of interviews I'm trying to get done. Not sure how my day will go, but if nothing else, I'll see you this evening for Fishers of Men. Have a blessed day. So until tonight or until the next time, God bless. And out for now.
And embers fly wherever we were going. Fire and ice, we built our lives on survival. Guiding past the fault lines, we're running your head. What the night